starting in James chapter 2. I do have an invitation for everyone. It is an open invitation for a New Year's Eve party. You say, yeah, well, that's not here yet. Man, they just put the pumpkins out at Jewel Osco. So they're already in Halloween decor. My goodness, the year's flying. But this is an invitation to a New Year's Eve wedding. Bob McMurray and Barb Hadlam are going to be getting married. Now, Bob, I don't see Barb. Is there a problem? No. Bob and Barb take care of our children's ministry, and so Barb is teaching. But if you see Barb later, she has something to show you. It's on her left hand, and it is a family heirloom. Amen. The title of the sermon today is Faith Has Visible Signs. It's not just in your mind. And that's why if you look at Barb's left hand, there's a visible sign of what's in Bob's mind. Not that marriage is all about the bling or the ring. It is about the commitment. But you know, when you say you believe something inside, there ought to be something outside that helps us know that's true. James chapter 2, if you'll please read with me. Not out loud though. Amen. Verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? What did we learn last week, church? No. The kind of faith that you say you believe, but there's no outward deeds, cannot save you. That's what the Bible teaches. Look down verse 18. But someone will say, and there's always somebody in there. Someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Okay, what's this a reference to? This is a reference to the fact that there could be faith Christians and deeds Christians. Some that just say they believe it, but others that actually act on what they believe. That's a lie. There is no such thing as faith without deeds. And the very next line makes it clear. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Because it's really funny. And nobody laughed. Show me your faith without deeds. Go ahead. Okay. Let's say I believe in James 5:16. It says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you can be healed. Anybody believe in that? All right. You say you believe that if you confess your sins to one another and then you pray for each other, there can be healing. It's different from forgiveness. God forgives and we can forgive, but we're talking about healing. So, I believe that if I confess my sins and people pray for me, there'll be healing. Okay, show me that without deeds. You can't do it? No, the very fact that you believe that means you're going to confess your sins. And that's what shows you believe it. And when someone confesses their sins to you, show me your faith without deeds. You can't. You have to actually pray for them. if you believe, that is what's going to bring healing. Are you guys with me? You cannot show anybody your faith without deeds.
Come on, we're all
right.
Come on.
But it's in there. Is it? See, that's the question.
Wow. Come on.
If there's no deeds, why would you believe you actually believe it? Amen. All I have to do is believe. Doesn't work in any area of your life. Try telling that to your boss. Go to work tomorrow and say, hey boss, all I have to do is believe at this job. You know what your boss is going to tell you? I believe you need to get a new job. I'm not paying you to believe in this product. I'm paying you to put it on the shelf. I'm not paying you to believe in this product. I'm paying you to sell it. Now, it's going to help you sell it if you actually believe in it. Faith is not just in your mind. It has visible signs. Amen? Take a look over at John 14. John 14. Have you ever met somebody that claims to be something and can't back it up? I heard all the time over there on the left. Amen. One of my favorite examples of this is the American Idol auditions. At the beginning of the show. Oh, it's coming up in January. It's going to be good. They come in there before Randy, Paula, and Simon. And they say, oh yeah, I can sing. And you know, usually they say, okay, great. Well, what are you going to sing for us? See, because if you claim you can sing, you ought to sing something. Right? And one guy I saw came in there, and he said, yeah, I sound like Brian McKnight.
Oh.
Do you remember that guy? And they're like, oh, okay, well, that's good. We're about to hear some Brian McKnight. So why do you believe you sound like Brian McKnight? Oh, mama told me. I sound like Brian McKnight. Yeah. In fact, the whole family told me, yeah. And then this guy sang, you know, something like that. And it did not sound like Brian McKnight. Yeah, turn out the light at night. Amen. You know, why would mama and the family have told him he sounded awesome? Hopefully it wasn't an evil prank. And if it was encouragement, it was sinful. Because you don't mislead somebody because you want to make them feel good. There's a little thing called you love someone, you tell them. You know what I mean? And you help them go down the right path. We do that, though, in our spiritual lives as well. We encourage people. Oh, you're awesome. When there are no visible signs of faith. We got to be careful. Encouragement doesn't mean mislead. And even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is good or right. That's what the Proverbs say. So, faith has visible signs. It's not just in your mind. If you're a singer, then sing something. Romans 12 says that. Whatever your gift is, use it. If your gift is giving, give generously. If serving, then serve. If leadership, govern diligently. A lot of people, kind of like American Idol, they claim to be leaders. Well, then lead. Show me something.
That's right. Come on, bro.
You know, we live in a world where go grow up, go to school, pay somebody to teach you some things, and you can be whatever you want in America. In the Bible, you didn't ever have anyone go to seminary becoming a minister. It's not how it worked. Someone else had to look at you and see that you had those gifts And they would grab you and train you, someone that was doing it, and then you'd be able to do it. But we got the American dream. I want to be a minister. We did a skit in Syracuse once called American Preacher. Andrew Smelly, those of you that know him, was Simon. Teresa was Paula, and I was Simon. Andrew was Randy. Teresa was Paula. We had six different guys come up and audition to be preachers. And one guy came up, and he was like, please open your Bible to Romans chapter 2. We're going to talk about it. No! No! Okay? Pat Jr. played a guy. He was pretty funny. He was all off in the other end on the deep end. He saw Jesus everywhere, even in the toaster oven. Amen. But you know what? It was kind of tongue-in-cheek. But it's true when you look around religion. But when you look at the Bible, you see how we ought to be led. If you're an actor, then act. I grew up in Texas, but I moved to New York City to be an actor. And I studied theater. And in New York City, everybody's an actor. Everybody. You'd be sitting there and you order a sandwich. So what do? To the waiter, well, I'm an actor. Everybody. Okay. When's the last time you did something? Can I come see you in something? Well, no, it was like 4 years ago. Well, when's the last time you went on an audition? You know, you're trying to get them. 4.5 years ago. Dude, you're a waiter. You're not an actor. You're a waiter. You want to act? Go to an audition. Act. If you're a Christian,
lay it out, bro.
John 14, verse 12. It says, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing.
Amen.
Faith has visible signs. It's not just in your mind. See, we say we have faith in Jesus. If we really believe in Jesus, we'll do what He's been doing. Back in James, it says, you believe that there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Doesn't mean the demons are saved.
Come on, bro.
They know there's a God, but they're not a follower of that God. So, we want to build a church that's truly full of Christians.
Amen.
Right? We want to be a people that if we claim to have faith in Jesus, we're doing what He would have been doing. Right now, in our day, and in our age. Faith has visible signs, it's not just in your mind. You know, what keeps us from doing what Jesus will be doing? What keeps you from doing what Jesus will be doing? And there are a number of answers. I think one of them that kept me from doing it for a long time is no one taught me or expected me to do it. No one taught me to do it. I just grew up going to church. You go, sit, listen, leave, have some good talks. Go next Sunday. So, only when I was 23 years old did someone sit down with me and say, let's study the Bible. And me and a few men sat down, we opened the Bible, and we took a look at what did Jesus do? What does Jesus say? Look at Luke 9.
Come on, bro. Lay it out, bro. This is awesome. Come on.
In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, this is a foundational scripture. Jesus again speaking. He said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me, my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Man, is that clear or what? Jesus says, you want to follow me, you want to be a Christian, Christ-like, follow me, deny yourself, which means whatever's in you that's not like me, you got to deny that, and follow me. And part of the problem is nobody ever taught me that's what it really meant to be a Christian. I grew up thinking, as long as I believe in Jesus, I'm saved. In fact, I was taught that. I was taught all I do is pray a prayer, and now I'm saved. But that was in my mind. Where were the visible signs? You guys with me? So I had to be taught. Maybe that's where you're at today. But maybe this passage meets another need. If anyone is ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of him. I love the way Mark says it. It says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, I'll be ashamed of him. In other words, there's a lot we should be ashamed about. It's not Jesus and his words. It's how we're living. Adulterously and sinfully out there. Sometimes we're ashamed and we're afraid of what people think. We're people pleasers. That's why we tell somebody they sound like Brian McKnight when they don't. Because we're not offering true encouragement. Like, hey, if you like music, maybe you could sell music. You know, find a job in the music industry. But maybe singing ain't it. And somebody may get mad at you for saying that. But you got to be truthful. And can I just say this? All babies are not cute. Now, I know we got three beautiful babies in here today. And so I want to encourage everyone to go see them and be... I know! Be honest now! Any of you see the Seinfeld? Where they're like, isn't this baby so cute? And they looked in and they're like... Oh, yeah. Are you honest? I'm not saying be impolite. But I'm saying, are you truthful in what you say? Because I think Christ would be truthful. And obviously, I'm not talking about how cute babies are. I'm talking about our lives. Do you have friendships that are based on being polite and not being truthful? That won't work in a church. It's not a friendship, I think was said over here. Guys, their church is full of people that are saying it's all cute. It's all okay. But yet, there's so much more they should be doing to get in there and love each other to spur us on the right way. The worst thing would be to flatter one another. And then on the last day, we're not all walking through the gates. That would be the worst thing. I appreciate so much Seth and Nick, I heard, took a trip over to COD the other night. And went out on there to try to share their faith. And it was at night, and at the commuter schools, it was like dead. Like nobody there. But they went up, and a study canceled, which is why they went on over there. And I guess they shared with a couple guys, and that went well. And then they were sitting down talking, and a couple guys came up and shared with them. And invited them to a religious type fellowship. Not where they really talk about anything doctrinally, it's just to encourage kind of thing. So Seth said, well, what are you doing this for? What's your purpose? And Seth started asking some questions, and they didn't really know what to do with that. Whoa! We're going to really talk about this thing here. Later, I heard they came back and said, man, you really seem to know what you're talking about. Can we get together and talk? And then I heard another guy was sitting over on another table and heard all that and came over, and basically he's searching as well and heard what they were saying. So you could say you love COD and you want to help the people there go to heaven, but if you don't get up and walk over there, nothing's going to happen. And yet if you get up and walk over there, even on a night when nobody's there, you might get 3 phone numbers of people you might could study with.
Yeah, come on, bro.
Faith has visible signs. It's not just in your mind. And if we really have faith in Jesus, we'll do what He's been doing. The problem is, so many of you, even maybe here today, have never been taught this, and it's never been expected of you. I just said I was a Christian, but no one ever expected me to go do that. And I remember one night I studied a study that changed my life. It's called discipleship. What it means to be a follower of Jesus. And that night after the study, they challenged me to start sharing my faith that night. That's a challenging one. Someone says, I believe. Okay, you need to go out and start talking to people about what you believe. You'll find out right there. Because we're afraid of people. And what they think of us. And we're ashamed. Bottom line is, we're more ashamed of Jesus than we are the way people are acting. That night I shared my faith on the PATH train home from Manhattan to Jersey. I shared my faith for the first time. Faith has visible signs. It's not just in your mind. In our mind, it won't help anybody. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We live in a country that's supposedly a Christian nation. How about that? Man, some polls say that in the 90s, 90 percentile claim to be Christians. You know, some campuses, though not all, some campuses, like 8 out of 10 claim to be Christian. Isn't that amazing? And yet, what happens on campus? Campus hops. You know, I went to campus the other night. Joe called me on the phone and said, I got a tip from the Chamber of Commerce. Cold Stone Creamery's giving away free scoop ice cream to everybody who comes in tonight from 5 to 8. Some of you wonder, why didn't I get that memo? So Teresa and I took the kids over there down on Halstead, just south of Roosevelt by UIC. It was hopping with college students. Man, they were just everywhere. Getting a scoop of ice cream. 8 out of 10 claim to be Christians. I wonder if it's hopping Sunday morning right now at UIC. It is quiet. I was in New York City a couple weeks ago. Wednesday night down by NYU. Wednesday night in the Village. By McDougal, some of you know it. 10:30 at night, every restaurant over full. Brimming. I don't think there's anywhere in Chicago like that on a Wednesday night, like this was. New York City. Sunday morning, you think you're in a Western with a tumbleweed rolling by. I mean, where is everybody? In my neighborhood, I come out on Sunday morning, 7 or so, in the South Loop. Unless there's a Bears game. Around noon. Now, tonight's a night game. Last week, it was at noon. There were jerseys everywhere, like 8 in the morning. Walking to Soldier Field. For the Bears! They're not undefeated, guys. But there are these people that have faith in the Bears. They have such faith, they pay they'll walk miles or they'll pay for parking. And we're a cult?
Lay it out, bro.
You got people in sub-zero weather with no shirt on, with bears spelled on their chests. But our college kids are too rowdy on Sunday morning. The morning I see these five bare-chested with Jesus spelled on their chest in paint, maybe we're going a little too far. All right? You know what? I think when Jesus comes back, I think he's coming back on Sunday morning. Surprise! It's Sunday morning! I'm back! Faith has visible signs. It's not just in your mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Faithlessness has signs as well. Verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Is that awesome or what? Nevertheless, guys, look at this. They all ate and drank from the miracles, and Christ was present even in the Old Testament. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered all over the desert. I don't want you guys to be ignorant of our history and of the Israelite people. They saw the miracles. They walked through on dry ground with walls of water on each side. And they saw the army trying to kill them destroyed in the water. Yet they got into the desert and they sinned. Let's read on. Now these things occurred as examples to keep who? From setting our hearts on what? As they did. Guys, what we're about to read were examples for us. For you. With a purpose. Because right now we're tempted to set our hearts on evil things. Right now. But God doesn't want us to set our hearts on evil things.
Come on, bro.
You can learn it the hard way, or you can learn it from these guys. I like secondhand smoke discipling, if you ask me.
Amen, bro.
Right? It's one thing if you don't smoke, but you can still get hurt by secondary smoke, right? Well, you can get discipled, or you can learn your lesson from these guys. I like when I'm sitting somewhere and somebody learns a lesson, I'm like, hey, thank you for helping me learn that lesson through your mistake and pain. Amen. But sometimes we got to go through our own pain. Verse 7. Do not be idolaters. That's putting anything before God. Anything. Anything. If it's your idol. If you make decisions in your life based on anything other than God and His Word, that's idolatry. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up and indulged in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. You like snakes? Reminds me of Indiana Jones movies. He can handle anything, but don't put snakes in there. Ugh. And look at this, guys. Do not grumble.
Come on.
as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. If I see the destroying angel, I want to be on the good side of that buddy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Guys, idolatry, immorality, grumbling.
Wow. Wow.
Do you think grumbling's not as bad as sin?
Come on,
you grumble? I see some wincing going on. Oh, boy. Man. And what it says here is these actions showed there was no faith. They did not believe in God's plan. And in this case, they did not believe in God's leader, Moses. They grumbled against him. Okay, what's this all referring to? It's after the 40 years of punishment that the Israelites went through for not believing in God. They again had a chance to enter the promised land. Moses sent 12 spies into Canaan to explore the land. 12 leaders of Israel. You would consider those faithful men, would you not? The majority, 10 of them, did not have a faithful report. Only Joshua and Caleb came back and gave a faithful report. Now, all of them said the land was good. Hang with me, guys. All of them said, wow, exceedingly good land. We'd like to live there. But they saw really big people live there. And they'd have to go fight them for the land. 10 of them did not trust God's plan. They said, no, we'll die there. We can't defeat them. They're too big. And they spread a report amongst the people that made all the people's heart melt with fear. And they grumbled against Moses and therefore against God. They were faithless. Joshua and Caleb, they were faithful. They saw the land was good. They believed God was giving it to them. And so they believed God would give them victory over anyone. So they gave a faithful report. Oh, but they were not popular. They were persecuted. It's the same today, guys. It's the same today. You got people that don't even claim to be full of faith in Jesus. They claim other things. But then you've got a bunch of people, because I used to be one of them, who say they believe, but there are no visible signs of their faith. And I was not living as Jesus lived. To the Pharisees, Jesus said, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Again, either because you've never been taught or expected to, or maybe you're afraid, even though you know. Okay? It's the same today. And the sad thing is, when you stand up and have faith, and stand up for what you believe in, and stand up for what God's calling you to do, it won't just be the non-believers that persecute you. But even those you consider brothers. Because of their lack of faith, will persecute you for your faith. It says here, verse 11, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for who? Are you learning from these examples, guys? Are you taking these warnings? On whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. Jesus has come and died for us. So, if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. Amen, guys?
Amen.
If you think you're standing firm. Anybody here think you're standing firm? Amen. Anybody else here think you're standing firm? Amen. Anybody here think you're doing lousy? I'd expect more hands to go up when I'm standing firm. I appreciate a couple of hands on I'm doing lousy. Amen. If we're honest, then we can get the help we need. But even when we think we're standing firm, and I hope you do, our goal is to stand firm. My goal would be to have a majority of people say, I'm standing firm. But then so still be careful. You've got to fight to stand firm, and then you've got to still be careful. Joshua and Caleb were united in this battle. And it wasn't just because they were buddies. Okay, I want to close with this thought. Joshua and Caleb weren't united because they went to high school together. They weren't united because they worked together. Or because they're in the same family tradition. Like we talked about last week. What united Joshua and Caleb? Their faith and their convictions. Appreciate so much Jason Jensen. He comes up from Madison, Wisconsin every Sunday. Ask him why in the fellowship. Talk to him. Why do you come so far? Surely there's somewhere else you can go. Closer. We're united because of our convictions. We're here because of our convictions. Guys, I'm not a part of this church. And I'm not a part of the movement we're a part of. Amen? Because they're my best buddies. I'm here because I believe in what we're doing. I believe as disciples, we need to be united and obey God's charge to evangelize the world in our generation. And I believe those words can fall flat, so let me explain. I want my relatives to know before they die, I want them to know the truth. I want your relatives to know before they die, I want them to know the truth. So they can't say, well, no one ever told me or expected it of me. And I want to encourage them to overcome their fear or doubt or worry or anxiety or people pleasing to do what's right. But we've got a multinational group right here. We have some of those relatives I just spoke about live in Africa. Some may live in Asia. Even some in Texas. So what are we going to do? Let's just focus on building a little church here and hope somebody over there gets it done. No. That's not God's charge. You know, the genius of God, He took 12 guys and one of them betrayed Him. By faith in Jesus, I'll do what He's been doing. What did He do? He called a few men to Him. Ended up being 11. That they could know His life. And that He could send them out to preach. Now that's church. Assembly religion in 2008 will never save your soul. And it'll never save the world. It's calling a few to you that they might know your life. And that you might send them out to preach. That was the genius of God. And God believed 11 dudes could tell the whole world, and they did. Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed people could change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. And so, faith has visible signs. It's not just in your mind. We call every single member of our church to be disciples of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you're a college student or if you're well seasoned on up in the years. We all need someone in our life teaching us. And we need to be in other people's lives teaching them. That was God's plan. Now, we got to ask ourselves, like the Israelites, do we believe in God's plan? Or do we see big obstacles and go, oh, it is exceedingly good, and when it works, it's beautiful, but I can't do it. We can't do it. You with me?
Yeah.
As a church, we want it loud and clear. We believe in this plan.
Come on.
And our convictions unite us with others who have faith as well in God's plan. So, how about you? You want to be a part of a church? A part of a movement of churches that is committed to the sacrifice that's needed to lay our lives down so that others, and that meant you at one point, could be saved. Midweek, we had our first principles class, the preparation for the class, the teaching on getting our hearts right. And at the end of it, we got on our knees and we prayed right here for about 10, 15, 20 minutes. And I was so moved by the prayers. Omar, he prayed not only for Africa, but that he would go back and preach in Africa. I appreciate so much. Nikki prayed a prayer just so precious that ended with, "I love you, Lord." Now that's what I'm talking about. Today we're going to get to see another precious soul added to God's kingdom. But let me reiterate. The work it takes to save one soul. And those of you that are involved in doing it, you understand. It's a lot of work to save one soul. But don't listen to Satan's lies, then therefore it's impossible to save and preach to the whole world. Because you do that the same way, one soul at a time.
Amen.
One soul at a time. Amen, guys?
Amen.
Next week we're in house churches, but then the following week, come on back. Title of the sermon then will be, "Faith Doesn't Wait for the Grave to Say I'm Saved." God bless you. Oh.